thank you very much, Professor Byrne, for being here and having a chat with us about hepatic venous pressure gradient. I thought we could start off with if you could just explain to us what this gradient is.
Well, look, thanks for the invitation. It's always a pleasure to speak about HBPG. Probably one of the most important tests in cirrhosis, I would say. The reason being is that a lot of what we understand about portal hypertension in the context of cirrhosis is derived from very early, rigorous experimental protocols measuring HVPG and linking that to prognosis, linking it to the risk of bleeding, the development of portal hypertensive complications. So really, HVPG was born out of the desire to be able to measure the portal vein pressure, mainly because we know that all the complications of cirrhosis relate to the development of portal hypertension. But of course, the portal vein is inaccessible without invasive procedures. So what the wedged hepatic venous pressure gradient measures is actually, if you imagine the sinusoids form a connection between the hepatic vein and the portal vein, if you occlude with a balloon catheter with an end hole, if you occlude the hepatic vein, you can measure directly the pressure that's transmitted through the sinusoids from the portal vein to the end of your catheter. And then when you deflate the balloon, then you measure what's called the free hepatic vein pressure. And the wedged hepatic vein pressure minus the free hepatic vein pressure equals the wedged hepatic pressure gradient. And that's important. That's the driving force for the development of complications of portal hypertension. So a normal wedged hepatic venous pressure gradient should be 5 or less. Between 5 and 10 is considered portal hypertension. And beyond 10 is considered clinically significant portal hypertension, because that's the threshold at which you start to develop problems like ascites, hepatic encephalopathy, the formation of varices. And a gradient of more than 12 is the threshold at which varices will bleed. And these thresholds have been assessed in many different settings by many different groups around the world and being validated. It's important to note, however, that wedged hepatic venous pressure gradient and these thresholds were derived mainly from a mixture of patients with alcoholic and viral causes of liver cirrhosis. And so it may not be as applicable, the thresholds may not be as robust in patients with, say, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or MASLD, as we call it now. It's very easy to do. It's important to be wary of the pitfalls, which can influence the measurement of wedged hepatic venous pressure gradients. And there's a lot of very good literature out there on how to perform it properly. It's still, I think, a really great tool. It's a pity we don't use it more. It is quite easy to do. And of course, it gives you access to the right hepatic vein, where it's very easy to do a transjugular liver biopsy in the same setting.
Is there a particular cohort of patients that you're more inclined to do a measure for?
I think where we use it more these days is in determining whether somebody has got truly sinusoidal portal hypertension or whether they've got another form of portal hypertension, such as pre-sinusoidal portal hypertension. So in that setting, say you've got a patient with varices and splenomegaly, they often have relatively normal liver function tests, and you might do an HVPG, which we, in the setting of pre-sinusoidal portal hypertension, say from nodular regenerative hyperplasia or portal sinusoidal vascular disease. Importantly, because the pressure can't be transmitted through the sinusoids, your wedged hepatic venous pressure gradient. And often in the absence of a biopsy, that's the easiest way to make a cast iron diagnosis of non-cirrhotic portal hypertension or portal sinusoidal vascular disease, for instance. That is potentially where we use it most these days, outside of research settings. It's, the field sort of in terms of estimating portal hypertension has sort of moved towards more non-invasive techniques such as FibroScan. But interestingly, the loop seems to be going back on itself now, because we now see the rise of what's called endohepatology, where people are with endoscopic ultrasound probes are actually directly measuring the portal vein venous pressure and the HVPG by measuring the hepatic vein pressure. I think that's an exciting development because it allows you direct access to the portal vein. And as a research tool, that's a phenomenal resource.
I guess you talked about the pre-sinusoidal hypertension in patients that have got a pre-hepatic cause for their portal hypertension. Do you see similar results on their measures?
So if they've got a pre-sinusoidal cause of portal hypertension, like a portal vein thrombosis, or often diseases that are based in the portal tract, granulomatous disease being one, early PBC, and things like PSC, they're often based in the portal tract and have a pre-sinusoidal component to the portal hypertension, you often find that the wedged hepatic venous pressure underestimates the severity of the portal hypertension, or it might even be a normal reading in the setting of portal vein thrombosis, for instance, because there's no flow into the sinusoids in that setting.
And I guess if we were to interpret another set of our measures, if we've got an elevated HVPG, normal free hepatic venous pressure with a elevated wedge hepatic, what are we thinking in this situation?
We're thinking this is the classic picture of sinusoidal portal hypertension. The wedged hepatic venous pressure is essentially the pressure transmitted through the sinusoids from the portal vein. And with your free hepatic venous pressure being normal, that excludes post-hepatic causes of portal hypertension, right heart failure, for instance, or even, you know, hepatic venous stenosis.
So this is commonly our cirrhotic patients.
Absolutely.
And I guess we have talked about the post-hepatic patients. Some of these patients will have a normal hepatovenous pressure gradient. Is that, I guess, able to explain that a bit more?
So if you imagine a situation where you have somebody with heart failure and elevated right ventricular pressures, they would be transmitted via the hepatic vein to the liver and would cause an increase in pressures across the board. But because there's no cirrhosis, there would be no real sinusoidal component to portal hypertension. It's just a direct pressure transmission. And it's very easy when you're doing an HVPG measurement to infer that that's present, because if you measure a free hepatic venous pressure and it's, say, 50, you know that's way high. And you can actually check on withdrawal or even insertion the right atrial pressure at that time. And if that's elevated, then you know that there's a right heart problem. Even then, when you do the venogram at the time of doing the wedged hepatic venous pressure gradient measurement, if you do a venogram with the balloon deflated, you will often see contrast shuttling up and down the vein consistent with a degree of tricuspid regurgitation.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's very useful, Professor. If you were to recommend one article to read for anyone, what would that article be?
I used to work with a great man called Andy Burrows, who was a sort of king of portal hypertension and was involved in a lot of early studies defining the role of HVPG measurement. And he wrote an article, which the first author was Marco Senzolo, called The Transjugular Route, The Keyhole to the Liver World. And I think it was a great article in terms of explaining what can be achieved through a single 2 millimeter puncture in the right internal jugular vein, gives you access to the hepatic venous pressure gradient measurement, transjugular liver biopsy. And actually, these techniques are not very difficult and should be within the grasp of many practicing hepatologists.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.